Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It has been my distinct pleasure to get to know over the past few years a man who has been waging a really important battle on one of the least understood fronts, perhaps, in that war for the free world, namely what we are confronting. We, both here in the United States and elsewhere in the free world, in terms of this phenomenon, I think it's best described, as Andy McCarthy suggests, as Sharia supremacism, as it manifests itself in some of our institutions, including our penal system, a matter that our guest Patrick Dunleavy is deeply knowledgeable about by virtue of his time in the corrections system of New York State. He rose through the ranks to become the Deputy Inspector General for the New York State Department of Corrections. He is these days a senior fellow for the Investigative Project on Terrorism, and he is a consultant and trainer for the Department of Defense on the issue of prison radicalization. He is the author of an extraordinarily important book on many of these subjects entitled The Fertile Soil of Jihad: Terrorism's Prison Connection. You can also find his writings at the Investigative Project on Terrorism website. It's a great pleasure to have him back. He's been very kind to be agreeable to a long conversation with us about his work, his insights, and those that we need to act upon to protect ourselves against the threat posed by Sharia supremacism. It's great to have you back, Patrick Dunleavy. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Just for purposes of calibration, Patrick, before we delve into the prison system and what's happening there, talk a little bit about some of your insights into the nature of this phenomenon. Again, I don't know if you agree with the term Sharia supremacism. It's got a lot of different ways of describing it. But the ideology that is at work behind jihadism and the danger that it represents.
Well, the ideology behind it is long framed, and yeah, actually have to go back to a historical perspective. Many would point back to the beginnings of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and in the Middle East. Individuals like Hassan al-Banna, and who wrote treatise on what they believe to be the fundamental responsibility of a follower of Islam to fight, to have this battle. You know, some would say against good or evil. In their particular case, it was against those who did not believe.
So this is not simply a personal struggle. It's literally holy war. Is that how you see it?
Right. It was not, you know, although we've heard that time and time again from individuals, I think as recently as Linda Sarsour in New York City, saying, no, I was only really talking about an individual struggle against good and evil.
This is where she was talking about her jihad against President Trump, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. She declared, you know, that jihad was a just and holy purpose. But then when called to the carpet on it, had to backpedal and take this more of a, well, I was really talking esoterical about, you know, good versus evil. But these original writers, and again, if you study the historical context, they were fighting in Egypt against what they believed to be a corrupt non-Islamic government with Nasser. So that particular theology was laid down. We can even go back as far as Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia in the 19th century with Wahhab, who had wanted to cleanse Islam from its impurities that it believed was getting into the religion. That type of philosophy then carried somewhat of an underground within the United States. It was not something that we saw in the United States, say, in the 19th century or something like that. It was more prominent in the Middle East in countries such as Egypt and Saudi Arabia and other countries like that. But nevertheless, it did make its way to the United States through groups like the Muslim Students Association that started in Chicago and the Dar es Salaam movement, where it began to look at how do we get a fundamentalist form of Islam into the United States. Again, in that times in the United States, most of the individuals who we would associate in the early 20th century as Muslims were followers of the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad and the forerunners of that particular movement, which if traditional Muslim in the Middle East looked at that, would have said that this is not theologically correct. There was only one prophet. The last prophet was Muhammad, not Elijah Muhammad. But yet they used that inroad of the popularity of that form of Islam to make progress in the African-American community and other communities to bring in this worldview of Islam. It was no longer the Nation of Islam, but the World of Islam.
Right. So to reframe just a little bit what you've said, Patrick, and I think that's a very useful exposition of the genesis of this modern jihadism. They are all about this sort of strict adherence to the teachings of Muhammad and the revelations in the Quran and so on, in other words, Sharia. And they are very much about using its teachings to try to achieve the submission of everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, to it in terms of getting access to certain communities, particularly the African-American community in this country. It's obviously a vehicle for greatly proliferating their footprint beyond sort of the original Muslim Students Association and typically the immigrant population to enlist others who can help them further expand. And this will bring us to the prison system, of course, in which the black population in this country is disproportionately represented, as you know so well. And I want to come to that in a moment, but just staying with the sort of overview for one more second. Patrick Dunleavy, as you've looked at this, is there any doubt in your mind that when push comes to shove, this has both an element that is pre-violent and an element that is violent, that the pre-violent is what you do until you're strong enough to be decisively able to use violence? And therefore, the Muslim Brotherhood and the various front groups, starting with the Muslim Students Association, are really sort of part of an infrastructure that helps lay the groundwork for the violent jihad to come. Is that fair?
Sure. I would say that historically, if you looked at any type of movement similar to that, you would always find a two-pronged effect. One would be the ideological battlefield to gain followers, to solidify the followers in what you're teaching. And then the second prong would be the action you take to expand your empire. And again, that could include violence, war, could be including taking over organizations. That's the way it particularly worked in Egypt and stuff like that, an infiltration of established organizations. But first, you have to lay the foundation and the ideology. And then you move on to how do we now move from where we are to gain more ground.
Right. So it's an incremental approach, the milestones approach of Qutb, for example, that that builds up to the kind of capabilities that will be ultimately decisive. This is a fascinating topic, and I would like to sort of dwell on it longer, but I do want to turn to your particular specialty, Patrick Dunleavy, based on your hard experience in the correction system, as well as your analysis of it since you've left. and that is what's going on in the prisons, starting with this country's, to translate this incubation or proselytization, recruitment, dawa, whatever you want to call it, so as to make the threat within vastly more formidable in the future. We'll talk about that and much more with Patrick Dunleavy in the segment to come, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.